Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good morning, church. Welcome. We are so thankful that you're here with us today. Thanks for joining us, no matter where you've come from, no matter where you're listening from around the world. We as a church have been in a series called Growing Pains over the last 2 weeks, and this is our third week in that series. And we've been taking the opportunity to look at times in our lives, inevitably where we experience pain, and the way that God is working in and through those times, that it's not throwaway times, but He has a purpose for us in those times of pain. It is my pleasure to welcome Stephen and Anita King with us today. Stephen and Anita went to Oxley College, so they're familiar with the place here. You'll hear a little bit more about their story later. But welcome, guys. Thanks for joining and thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Andy. It's real great to be here, and we're really excited to share.
No worries. So, Anita, you were just saying before that you have been to Oxley, and what position were you guys in at Oxley together, and how did you come to meet each other?
Sure. So we met in high school here at Oxley College up on the hill. We went through that together in year 12. We were school captains together. So have had a good friendship through all of those years, and have ended up now married for 14 years.
Very good. So there's hope for relationships in school. If people are, that's the way it works. They have a great story to share with us. And so to kick that off, we're going to go to a video. So let's have a look at that now.
The 33-year-old man was rock climbing with his family at Mount Nagungun in the Glasshouse Mountains this morning. Just before 11 o'clock, he slipped, falling around 15 metres. Now, when rescue crews arrived, they were able to reach this climber quite quickly as he wasn't too far from the base of the mountain. Paramedics, police and firefighters carried him from the bush to a waiting ambulance.
He's come down and suffered what appears to be a significant head injury. And some skeletal injuries also.
Then he was flown to a Brisbane hospital around 1 o'clock. So certainly a horrible end to the Easter long weekend for this 33-year-old man and his family.
An amazing story, guys. An amazing story. So that was the 2nd of April in 2018. What happened?
Yeah, so obviously the video shares a little bit of that. I made the news. Pretty exciting. But not for a good reason, I guess. We were on a family holiday up in Queensland. It was meant to be a five-week holiday, and we're about 2 and a bit weeks into it. And one of the things I've done for about 14-plus years is rock climb. And so rock climbing is something we just started to get into as a family. And so we took all our gear, and I said to Neat, well, I found a location that I think we can climb as a family today. I'll just shoot up this easy climb and set up a couple of ropes, and the kids can have a play. And unfortunately, that easy climb turned into a nightmare. I was halfway up the 15-metre climb, so a little bit wrong on the news there, but that's okay. About halfway up, lead climbing, so placing my placements, and unfortunately I couldn't get another placement. My hand gave way, I fell, I knocked my head pretty hard on the way down. My second placement popped out of the wall, and I unfortunately ended up decking out like a sack of potatoes on the ground, and knocked myself out. And Anita thought I was dead. Praise God I wasn't, big scar remains to be seen there, and I'll show you some pictures in a minute, I'm sure, but yeah. Do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, so we were just up there as a family, the six of us. There's no one else around. We'd parked on a road, we'd gone up this dirt track following our little guidebook to the climb, and it was amazing how God works, because just before Steve fell, he'd found some loose rocks, and he said, oh, we need to move the kids away, because if one of these rocks comes down and hits them, they're going to be in trouble. So we'd say to the kids, can you just move up the track a bit? You know, Dad will climb up the wall and put the ropes down and we'll go from there. So the kids actually had moved out of the way before Steve fell. Mm. So while he fell and hit his head and landed at my feet, thankfully the kids were spared from the brunt of that trauma, initially at least.
Yep. Yeah, we did find out later that they had, I guess, seen me fall, but... at least they weren't in the way, I guess, and didn't get hurt themselves or anything like that. So that was a blessing in disguise, I think, at that time. So, yeah.
So you're in the middle of this beautiful family holiday in Queensland, wasn't it?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden this sort of thing happens, and as can sometimes happen in life, things get really turned on their head.
Yeah.
And so what happened from there?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me run through a few photos. I think we might have some of them on the screen. But basically, I broke my back in about 8 spots, 3 serious breaks. Oh, yeah. And so I couldn't move. I had a massive rock pushing into my back in absolute agony. I wanted to move, but I knew I couldn't. And Anita obviously was telling me I shouldn't. And so I had to just lie there, gasping for breath, you know, literally half dead, really. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. I was in a lot of pain. My head, you can see in the picture there that my head was bandaged well, because there was a lot of blood. When I hit my head, there was a big flap of skin. I know it's, sorry, getting a bit graphic, but Anita basically had to hold my scalp on. She could see my skull. That's how.
And I'm not a nurse. I'm a school teacher, so I don't do well with blood.
Normally, when there's a knee to be bandaged up or something, that's my job. And so Anita did an amazing job in keeping my head on, I guess, at that point. We had to wait for the emergency services. Could hear them coming in the distance, but then going again. They couldn't find us. And so the kids, you know, getting all excited that they're coming, Daddy, they're coming. And then, oh, where are they going, Daddy? So we had to wait for that. But then it took, how many hours?
So it was 36 minutes. 36 minutes for the ambulance to arrive from when I first called 000.
Yeah.
And then it took another 2 hours from when they arrived until Steve was out and getting into the helicopter. So it was a long time at the rock face to get through the emergency services process.
Yeah. And then, so obviously, I had to be stabilised. And then, into ICU, tubes in me, all sorts of things happening. I'm dozing in and out of consciousness. I had to then have a couple of surgeries. The first one happened at...
That night,
I don't know, 10 o'clock at night or something, was it? By the time they could figure out what was wrong with me, how damaged I was. As I said, there's about 8 different vertebrae in my back that was broken. 3 major ones, one sort of up around my neck, which they're obviously concerned a lot about, C6. And the way spinal cord injuries work is that ordinarily the higher the injury, the less function you end up having. And so that was the one they were most concerned about. T8, which is halfway through your back, and then L1 was the major fracture, which burst, and part of the fragment ended up pushing on the spinal cord, and that's what paralysed me from waist down. So at that stage, I didn't know what was going on, obviously. Just hoping and praying that I was going to be okay.
So there's obviously a moment there when Nate, probably you more so, had seen Steve fall. He's lying on the ground and you realise the seriousness of the situation that you find yourself in. Just speak to us about your mindset and just what was going on in your mind and perhaps the way God was moving in you in those moments as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, I'm not a nurse. So when I saw Steve fall and hit and land, I thought he was gone. You know, he had that vacant look and no movement. And I sort of said, you know, I'm just going to God, No, like this is not the plan. Like I'm not going to lose my husband right here with my 4 children watching and no one else around. This is not happening right now. You've got to help me. You've got to do something. And it was almost like, I'll say an out-of-body experience, but it was like I knew what I had to do, but it wasn't me. I knew that I had to grab the phone. I knew I had to call 000. I knew I had to get our first aid kit. And it was such clarity of thought and action that was not my thought. It's not my nature, it's not my personality. It had to be nothing but God and the Holy Spirit just moving through me in that time, just going through the motions and talking to the kids and doing what I knew I had to do for Steve at that point in time. And thankfully, it was only a matter of seconds before he came to and was quite coherent and could help me in the process because I didn't actually know where we were.
Yeah, that's right. I actually, again, I guess a God thing that I wasn't brain damaged or anything like that because I was able to articulate to Anita exactly where we were I've just come out of consciousness, come back into consciousness, and I was able to share, yeah, we're this far down the road, there's an 80 speed sign, there's a dirt grout thing on the side, like, to absolute clarity that was able to share then with the paramedics to find us. So amazing really. The other thing I'll mention on that moment was two things actually. When things happen, I guess, so we've both been raised as Christians, and so you journey through life, I think, and you, there's times where you go, well, is my faith real, right? And so it's in these moments of absolute crisis, if you like, that I think your faith is either made or broken. And for us, it was absolute clarity that God is real, that He was right there with us, and for us, that strengthened our faith 100-fold in that moment. It gave us that confidence that, yes, what we've been believing all these years is absolute truth. Because the reason I say that, and this is the second point, is that the peace that we felt at that time was just unheard of. You know, it could only have come from God. The fact that I'm there half dead, you know, absolute agony, and Anita's got such clarity, but, you know, in the midst of it all, the peace that we felt was just incredible, that it's okay. Like, it was actually going to be okay. You can't explain. I can't share that well enough in words, I know, but that's what we felt. And for us, that was absolute confidence that God is real and He was right there with us in the midst of it.
Amazing. That's awesome. So if we fast forward a little bit to you being in hospital, there's obviously that initial realization that something is really wrong when you see Him fall and that whole part of it. But then there's a moment when you're in hospital and you find out exactly what is damaged and what's going on, and then it starts to really sink in as to how we need to move forward from this. Speak to us about that moment or those moments where it was walking through, where do we go from here?
Yeah, that I guess has been a process actually, Andy. Like, it's initially myself and my dad, for that matter, thought I was just going to walk out of hospital. Like, that's the reality that we thought we were in. We're like, it's not that major. Give us a few days kind of thing and then we'll be fine and I'll be off I go. Then, as you said, it slowly sinks in that, hang on, this is actually really serious. I'm not walking out of here in a few days. This is a permanent injury. And so it was a process to work through that, and I'm still working through that. I've always been quite an optimistic person, and I think that's helped. And I see myself as a person with a lot of faith. And so there was never a time where I thought, this is it. Like, this is the end of my story. This is the end of the journey. Like, I'm done. I've always thought, you know, I thought, God's got a plan and a purpose for my life. That doesn't stop now. I've got to get through this, and I'm going to work really hard in trying to, you know, get mobility back and all of that. But leaning into God and knowing that He still has a plan and purpose for my life was really important in that moment. Probably the darkest moments, if you like, were in hospital. I think I shared with you the other day, probably the hardest moment I had was probably one night in hospital. I don't know which night it was, second or third night, absolute agony. And I remember having a real dream, a vivid dream, that Jesus basically said to me, Steve, it's up to you, mate. You can either, you know, decide that's it, or we can get through this and I'll show you the way through this. All you got to do is just hang on to me and I will show you the way through this. And it was at that moment I said, no, that I want to do this with you, Jesus. Like, show me the way. I'm not done with all this. I've still got my family, my friends, everyone to get back to. I'm not giving up now. And from that point, I really felt like God was showing me the way through the journey thereafter, which is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, from the moment Steve opened his eyes at the rock face, that was an up for me and everything was going to be okay. Yeah. And I knew it. But something that we've really reflected on in our journey and from another talk that I've watched on someone else's injury, and you have this plan for your life, and we did. We married young. We're going to have kids. We're going to travel. We're doing this, 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 and this. And all of a sudden, he's flat on his back in a hospital bed and may never walk again. And that plan, that path that you have laid out, doesn't look so clear anymore. And so you start on this journey and you're going this way and it's turning, it's going up and down, but it's not what you planned. And so you can either make the choice to go, oh, well, I'm going to get back on that track over there. That's where I want to be. Or you can look at it from, you know, through God's eyes and go, well, what if that's the path you're on the whole time? Let's make this our path. Let's make this our journey. And whatever it is, we'll take it one step at a time and see where we go.
And know God is with you through it all.
Absolutely.
In it all, through it all.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. God never suggests that life's going to be a bed of roses as a Christian or anyone for that matter. But he does promise that he will be there with us through the journey, you know. And so we've really noticed that, seen that in our journey, and thank God for that.
I was going to add, and just the things that get put in place as you go through a crisis that you go, wow, that makes sense. I have family up in Brisbane who just happened to have seen the week before, so they ended up looking after our children for a few nights, and they weren't perfect strangers to our children anymore. We had a pilot who flew us down, Royal Flying Doctor Service, from Queensland back down here to Melbourne. He was a Christian.
Prayed for us,
you know, praying in the back of an ambulance with someone. Like, God just puts people along the way to encourage you on your darkest days. You're never alone.
So you're now in hospital. You've got the diagnosis. You know what's wrong. Talk to us about what it was from there, walking through that road practically, and obviously your mind, it's a roller coaster sometimes through these moments. Yeah. What happened from there?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been a big journey of recovery, if you like. So I spent 2 weeks in the Brisbane hospital. Then we were air flown back, Nita and I, with the Royal Flying Doctor Service back to Melbourne. I spent another 3 weeks at the Heidelberg Hospital, Austin Hospital in Heidelberg, and then another 7 weeks at the Royal Talbot Rehab Centre. And that felt like an eternity, those 3 months in hospital, basically, away from my family. You know, obviously they could come and visit as they could, but, you know, you're away from your family. So that was really hard. But it was every day I would already be into the rehab, doing physio sessions, trying to see what function I could get back, just... Even, like, it's so hard to explain the situation I was in, but I couldn't even scratch my nose at the start. I couldn't even fix up the sheet under my back in the hospital bed. Like, you know, the first thing when they would come in, I'd be like, oh, can you just scratch me, or can you just fix that for me, or turn the fan on or turn the fan off. Or it was just, yeah, all that going on initially. And then, yeah, the road to recovery. So just rehab flat out. I've been in a constant routine of, you know, physio twice a week now since I left hospital for the last 2 years and a bit. You know, gym and swim sessions, massage therapy, just, yeah, an ongoing process. Yep.
So obviously there was an initial large stint in hospital. I know there can be times when the crisis is enough, but it's how do we persevere yep. to get healthy or to continue to grow, push forward in not only our relationship with God, but physically as well. How did you maintain that attitude of perseverance and strength through that time?
Yeah, I think I touched on it before. I really, a few things. A number of people had shared with me that they could see me walking again. I also had a word from God or from Jesus that said I would walk again. And so I hang on to that, obviously. And fortunately, yeah, as you'll see, there's another video that you might want to just pop up now, me on the treadmill. And I can walk. I did 10 minutes the other day, set a new record, 310 metres. So, yeah, praise God it is happening.
For those who know our building, Steve walked up the stairs.
I did.
Absolutely. It's amazing.
But it's just trusting God. I've said all along with this, God will do his bit and I will do my bit and we'll see where we end up. You know, like ultimately I couldn't and I can't turn my muscles back on. The message is not getting through. That's up to God. And so praise God, slowly but surely different muscle groups have been turning on and I'm able to then work hard in the process to build those muscles. But yeah, that's beyond my control in actually turning them on. You know, I'm leaning into God for that and he's healing me and thank God for that. You know,
it's such an awesome testimony. I love it. You're partnering with God.
Absolutely.
Neat, for you and that perseverance phase, I'm sure it's been a roller coaster for you. And often when you are supporting someone else, you're experiencing it in a very different way, whether they are motivated to heal or not. How do you be a good support person to someone who has been through something like this? I mean, you're going through it yourself, but yeah. How have you maintained that?
Yeah, I've had my good days and my bad days. I think watching the person closest to you go through something that hard, when you have no control, you can't do anything, hurts a lot. I think I had to have people around me supporting me so I could support Steve. It's not just the two of us. It's never just been the two of us. It's always been the village. It's been family, friends, church. I think that's key. And, you know, and God's been right there beside me the whole way from the first night. Steve was in hospital and, you know, going through a surgery and I couldn't sleep and I just open up the Psalms and just things just jump out of you. I think, you know, God just gives you what you need to get through at any time and puts the little words and the encouragements in. You know, there's that Chris Tomlin song, Angel Armies, and that just kept playing, kept coming up in the car if I was driving or wherever. And I remember it playing and it really sticking out to me in the early days and then talking to my brother and sister-in-law that night. And she was praying for me and she said, I just pray that God's angel armies will just protect you. And I was like, far out. Like, thanks God, you know what I need when I need it and you just give it to me then and there. So, yeah, on a practical note, it's just being there and just being that encouragement, I suppose, to Steve. But I can't do that without encouragement to me. So I think there has to be a flow-on effect and there definitely was throughout everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll echo that. I mean, Jesus does give you what you need through it. The funny thing through this is that I've felt the closest I've ever felt with Jesus through these times. And, you know, having that space, you know, to really press in, you know, reading the Word of God, listening to worship songs, reading devotionals, you know, and allowing God to speak, I think has been so helpful. You know, the busyness of life, we often stop, we forget to stop and listen to God. But he's got a lot of good stuff to say. And so for me, as a doer, as a go-getter, it was really interesting that I was forced to stop, which actually strengthened my relationship with Jesus. So encourage anyone out there, take the time to spend the time with Jesus and get to know him more.
I think I love that. And it wasn't something that you have just done afterwards, but in the preparation, you can look back and maybe you can speak to this, the way that God had almost been preparing you for what you were to go through. Do you want to speak to that?
So just maybe 3 or 4 days before Steve's accident, we were on Fraser Island as a family. And we've never been up there before, but we got off the ferry onto the island, you know, with our four-wheel drive and the camper trailer on the back and just gunned it. These guys are going up the beach. We'll follow them. They're Queensland number plates. They know what they're doing. Well, they disappeared into the distance and we got bogged on the beach. It was the end of the day. The tide came in. We actually nearly lost our camper trailer. So I've made 2000 calls on that holiday. The first one was to the police to say, we're on Fraser Island. Like, please help us. Like, we're stuck on the beach with four young children. But after that experience, and we, you know, we got off the island, the camper trailer was saved, everything was all good. But Steve wrote a reflection for church that was titled, God's Got My Back. He wrote that reflection. He emailed it to our pastor. The very next day, he had his accident.
Yeah. And the message was, you know, that despite the circumstances, you know, we could have lost our caravan, we could have lost everything. God's still there. God's still got our back. And that was obviously more literally the case the day after. And that's still, to this very day, God's got my back. I absolutely believe that.
So there's obviously a moment when you're in hospital and this tragedy happens and you're praying. Yep. at the start. You're praying for God to do a miracle, and you're in hospital, and there are so many people praying for a miracle in that situation. Now, I know you guys would say, well, the miracle was that we are here now and that God kept us the way he did. But when prayers don't get answered the way that we want them to get answered, how do you process that not only yourselves, but how do you allow other people to see the way that you're processing that too?
Obviously, we were praying hard for that miracle, you know, that instant miracle initially. But it was only because I was willing, I think, to listen to God, and he was able to tell me and share with me that reality of, no, we're going to go through a process here. I'm going to walk you through this, that even though so many people were kept on asking me, so when are you going to walk again, Steve? You know, when is God going to heal you? When's it? I kept saying, no, God is healing me. This is happening, but we've got to do it his way. It's not our way. And so sometimes the answer, as you say, the answer doesn't come in the form that we want it to initially, but God knows better. Sometimes, you know, we have to just go the way God wants us to. And that's hard. I don't doubt for a second that that's often hard when you don't always hear the answer you want to hear. But I think, yeah, we have to just trust. We have to rely on God that he does know better. He's got the big picture view. We only see a tiny little glimpse, you know. And so trying to look at it from his perspective, which is really hard. It totally is really hard. But asking the Lord to try and reveal to you what's the purpose in all this maybe can help. And sometimes it's a yes, sometimes it's a no, sometimes it's a maybe, or we're going to do this together, or it's going to be a process, or it's just, I guess, trying to understand what the answer is. And sometimes we'll never know. Yeah. Actually, that's the truth of it. Sometimes we will just never know until, you know, maybe we meet him one day in heaven. Do you want to add into that?
Yeah, I think it depends what you define a miracle as. Because, yeah. You know, very much those early days praying for a miracle. And we were thinking miracle in the healing of his body, but God's going, I've got something better for you. There's miracles in conversations that you're having, in stories that you're sharing, in stories from other people that you're hearing. There's one couple in particular in the rehab hospital that we got to know quite well. And you can just share faith with them. Yeah. That's a miracle.
Yeah, totally.
Like, we have this little box of what we want in our prayer, and God's like, you're limiting yourselves.
Yeah.
The physical healing's going to come in this life or in the next. That's a granted when you're a believer. Yeah. But the miracles along the way, that's the journey, and that's what God wants for us.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. I want to just change direction a little bit here, and I want to ask you about your story. And there will be people listening that have experienced pain in their lives, and they've experienced really hard circumstances, and they've come through the other end of that, for better or for worse, and they're still working through that process, just as you guys are right now. What would you say to the people about stewarding the story that God has given you? So obviously you've been led through this situation. What do you say to people about stewarding that story?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, as I said before, God still has a plan and a purpose for our lives. I think this is a big part of it, is sharing what God has done for us and is doing through us. And I think, yeah, stewardship is a good word for that. I think if God does, I don't know, everyone's got a testimony. Everyone's got something going on. Our story is no more special than your story to the other guy down the street, right? Everyone has got a story to share, and so stewardship of that story is important regardless of who you are. But yes, for us to be able to use what we've gone through and the impact of that in our lives and our growth in Jesus through this, I think is a really important thing to do. I think God has called us to share. And I already know through being able to share this in other times, that many people have been impacted by what we've gone through. And so, I've had messages from lots of different random people, which has been really exciting, and or contacts that I've lost contact with that have touched base through this. And I'm like, wow, God is using this in an amazing way. And so we have almost an obligation to share, to allow God to work through our story And I guess I would encourage everyone to share your story because God wants to use you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've reflected that our story, or this particular part of our story, is a long one. Mm. You know, it could have happened that Steve fell and in the hospital there was a miraculous recovery and he got up and he walked out in those first few days and we would have been jumping and praising God. But we're still praising God now 2.5 years later, because even though it's not that instant miracle, it's an ongoing miracle, and it's still going, and we can still share that journey with other people and encourage other people through it, just as other people can encourage us. It's not a fleeting thing that's done and then forgotten about and we've moved on back to our perfect life that we imagined that we would try and get to. This is the road we're on. This is our journey. And using every opportunity within that time that we've got on
Absolutely. And knowing my personality, if God had healed me like that and I could just walk out of hospital or whatever, I would just get back on with life. Like, that's me. It sounds really random, really funny, but God knows me better than I know myself. And I feel like he said, no, I'm not done with you. The healing process is not finished, but we've got to work through this together so that you have that reliance on me, right? And that has forced me, as I said before, to slow down, to press into God, to take that time with him. Not that I wasn't before, but all the more so, right? And to really lean in to the Lord and see what he can do in my life, yeah? Because, I've seen myself as a capable person, you know. I did fairly well at school. I played high-level football, like, I'm quite a capable person. I can do stuff, run my own business, all that sort of jazz. But there's things that I can't do without God. And I feel like he was using this as an opportunity to show me that and saying, hey, Steve, check this out. I'm pretty cool. I'm pretty powerful. Let me show you how good I am. And that's going to encourage you all the more in your faith. So, yeah.
Good morning, friends. It is such a privilege to be able to share this moment with you as we gather around the table of the Lord. If you haven't gone and gotten your provisions yet, then please go and grab your biscuit and your juice, maybe a piece of bread out of the freezer, and come back and join us as we eat and we drink together. About a week and a half ago, I was preparing the evening meal and I had music on in the background, which is not unusual, but I was completely captivated by a line in a song, and the words were, "You took your altar and prepared a table," and it just captivated my heart, and it took me down a journey with the Lord regarding his love for you and regarding his love for me. In the first chapter of Ephesians, God tells us that before the foundation of the world, he set his affection upon us. And the focus of his love was you. The focus of his love was me. As early as Genesis in the third chapter, when sin entered the world, God didn't scold Adam and Eve. He simply announced a plan of redemption to crush the head of our enemy. In Isaiah 53, we're given a very graphic image of what price Jesus paid for you and for me. He was despised. He was rejected. He was beaten. He had his flesh torn out of his back. He bore our griefs, and griefs in the Hebrew is the word for sickness, and it literally means to be worn down. Who's felt worn down in the last few days, the last few weeks, the last few months? I know I have. But he bore that, and he carried our sorrows, and he took it to the Father and dealt with it once and for all. His brokenness, friends, brought us redemption. His brokenness brought us healing. And we have every reason to rejoice. We're instructed in the Gospels many times to remember him. And 2 years ago, my father passed away, and there's not one day that passes where I don't think about him. And I don't think about him with sadness. I think about all the wonderful things that he was for me. In the same way, we remember Jesus. What he did for us didn't end with his death, but resurrection. And scripture tells us that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives and dwells in us. This is good news, friends. His beating and his wounding became my healing. His brokenness became my wholeness, body, soul, and spirit. We're no longer orphans. We have been taken from darkness into light. We are no longer isolated and on our own. because we have been given the right to be called the true sons and the true daughters of God. So as we reflect upon that, I just want to read a scripture to you taken from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 23 to 25. So if you just pick up your emblems while I read, and we will keep going from there. And in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me." And in so doing, we proclaim the Lord's death. Friends, Jesus' brokenness was for our wholeness. So if we're feeling weary, we can come to the cross and we can appropriate peace for our lives. If we're feeling surrounded, we can appropriate his presence and his nearness. If we feel sick, we can appropriate what was fought for us and won at the cross. And we can declare healing over our lives, not just in our bodies. He was beaten and he was broken and he was bruised. So if we just grab our elements, we take of his body that ours would be whole, and we drink of his blood that our redemption is clear. Nothing can separate us from his love. His altar became our table, and we can feast upon it. We can feast upon the goodness of God. We can feast upon the peace that is given to us. He calls us to come boldly, and because of the cross, we can come boldly without fear, without trepidation, without an orphan heart, because he has set us free. So I just pray over you right now, the freedom that is yours. I pray over you right now, the healing that is yours. I pray over you right now, the shalom that is yours. We don't need to be in fear. We don't need to worry. We can shut down everything that's going on outside and just delve into the word. And remember, if you have a need, you need to eat and you need to drink. If you want to stand in the gap for your nation, you need to eat and you need to drink. Friends, this is good news. This is really good news. So Father, I just thank you for your body. I thank you for your blood. I thank you for the deliverance that you bring to your people. I thank you for the salvation that is ours. And I thank you, God, for the sacrifice and the price that you paid because you had set your affection on us. I thank you, Lord God, that we were the focus of your love, and we just give you thanks and we remember you and we commit to remembering you throughout the week, Lord. In your precious, matchless name, amen.